RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Tuesday morning means the Wilms Report beams in from the unshackled.net in Melbourne, Australia. Our good friend Tim Wilms is with us. Morning, Tim. How are you?
Morning, Paul. I'm excellent. Thank you. Well, we've had spring finally arrive, though the
Good.
Bureau of Meteorology is warning us of both a hot summer and flooding, though we just disregard what they say now, given they got last summer wrong, but I'm hoping it's going to be a warm one.
Sorry, so flooding and hot?
Yes, because...
Okay, that's the worst of everything, by the way.
Yes, so we've been told to, yes, just... race for extreme weather, and this is going to be the norm because of, well, you know what, climate change.
Of course, yeah. Guarantee it won't be like that. It'll be a great summer. You watch. All right. Who's in trouble? Who's been found guilty of giving the Nazi salute outside a courthouse in Melbourne? Who is it? And why has it taken so long to get to this? And now... apparently, even longer to deliberate on a punishment.
Yes. So the Nazi salute is banned here in Victoria. It carries a maximum penalty of 12 months in prison or a $23,000 fine. And the laws were drafted and passed in response to the National Socialist Network giving the Nazi salute on the steps of Victoria's Parliament House during the infamous Let Women Speak rally during Kelly J. Keane's tour, which, of course, Moira Deeming attended, and then leader John Pesciuto had two goes at expelling her. It's wrapping up this week, Deeming versus Pesciuto. So that was the trigger for this ban on the Nazi salute. And, of course, it is... quite extraordinary that we have governments now banning raising your arm in a particular way, because we still have outside of tram stops and bus stops asking, telling us to hail bus or hail tram with an arm raised. So how do you also raise your hand when you're trying to get a waiter's attention?
And not to mention that you can put your arm anywhere you want because it's your frickin' body.
Yes, so I'm not sure if I mentioned to you last week, I was very careful when I attended the free speech rally last week, because a couple of speakers asked us to raise our hands if you agree with this. And so I made sure I raised it just very carefully up, because I noticed that there was a transgender Antifa photographer in the crowd. And so I made sure that there was no way I could be snapped in anything doing a Nazi salute. Damien Richardson, actor and activist, he was accused at a Stop Mass Immigration meeting recently of giving the Nazi salute, which he denied.
Yeah, but you can use that satirically as well, or to make a point.
Well, there are exceptions in the law for educational purposes in Victoria, even to oppose Nazism. But I remember, and this is going back 7 years ago, Ross Cameron, a former federal Liberal MP for Parramatta, now president of the Libertarian Party of New South Wales, who have opposed these Nazi salute bans. He, at a Libertarian conference once, because he was, he believed he was being stalked by a Fairfax photographer who was trying to get an unflattering photo of him. And so he's like, oh, here's a photo for you. Here's just me giving a Nazi salute. So you've got your photo now so you can go off to the pub. Now, clearly he was just doing it in a satirical way, but would he be prosecuted now?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, protecting freedom is actually... the rubber hits the road when you're protecting freedom that you're uncomfortable with, or
yes,
speech that you really are. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we used to refer to parking wardens as parking Nazis. You know, we weren't saying that they went around with moustaches and you know, goose stepping and everything. It's just a way of using words.
Well, there's even like expressions such as feminazi, grammar, a Nazi, but now you have these snowflake anti-defamation activists like the one we have here, Davir Abramovich, who claims that anyone who uses such terminology uses these metaphors, it felt like I'd been stabbed in the heart, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Whatever. Get out your bio.
When the Nazi salute ban was passed, Davir Abramovich, he said that he shed tears of joy. And, of course, he was very satisfied when National Socialist Network founder and leader Jacob Hirschant was the first Victorian found guilty of performing the Nazi salute just days after it was banned outside the County Court of Victoria, after he and Thomas Sewell had pled guilty to violent disorder after they'd had a confrontation with Antifa, who followed them to the Cathedral Ranges National Park way back in May 2021. So they didn't get to court until October 2023. So justice is very slow.
Yes.
Victoria. Yeah. So the trial had occurred last month, and then the magistrate, Brett's Sonnet, had found him guilty, rejected his defence that he did not make the gesture, because I think he forgot that it had just been made illegal because to him. He told the court he still
naturally to him.
Yeah. He does it every day, obviously, in the private.
Without thinking.
He's been a National Socialist neo-Nazi since he was a teenager. So his lawyer, who was appearing for him, Timothy Smart, also made a constitutional argument because we have freedom of political communication. But last Wednesday, Magistrate Brett Sonnet found him guilty, but needed some more time to decide what the sentence would be. Decided that he needed to go to jail, but now it needs a month to decide what sentence. He originally wanted to remand him in custody while he was making up his mind. So he's... these magistrates seem to like twiddle their thumbs for a while, thinking about a lot of things. So he originally wanted to remand Jacob in custody while he was deciding on a sentence, but that is unprecedented for a summary offence. So in the afternoon, he changed his mind. So yes, it was a bit of a circus how Magistrate Sonnet decided he would remand him without sentence and then changed his mind when he realised that was without precedent.
Sounds like the judge was kind of triggered there. They all seem to be triggered. Okay, what about the 65-year-old police sergeant in the Victoria, is it the training part of the police, who's been Nazi saluting busily? Anyway.
Yes. Yeah, so Victoria Police last week, they would have been patting themselves on the back for a successful prosecution of the Nazi salute ban. But they are now in damage control because it has, it's alleged that 65-year-old Sergeant Mandy Feingen at the Victoria Police Academy last week. She's been an officer for more than 40 years and an instructor at the academy for the last 16 years, an instructor on family violence, of all things. So it allegedly happened twice. So first, after a disagreement with a fellow instructor, and she allegedly said, "Hail Hitler," and then did it the next day in front of cadets. And so Jacob Hirschner, he did it in front of a courthouse, in front of media cameras, "Hail Hitler," and then didn't do the full salute. But doing a Nazi salute in front of a bunch of Victoria Police instructors and cadets. And so this led to a press conference by the Victoria Police Commissioner, Shane Patton, where he said he wanted to express his disgust and anger at this appalling conduct. And he took the opportunity to profoundly apologise to Victoria's Jewish community.
Did they fire the woman?
She's been suspended with pay.
Being
charged. She's also been investigated by Professional Standards Command. But yeah, the fact that this is, it's not just some cadet who did it, who's in training, but a 40-year veteran who's been an instructor for 16 years on family violence of all things. Oh, I mean, dear. You couldn't make it up. You just have to laugh the fact that. And of course, it's often the case that institutions who pride themselves on being the most woke and virtuous, they always seem to get caught up in this sort of thing.
Yeah, well, just look at our Navy, another story.
Oh, yes. that's been global, your sunken ship.
We must reserve judgment, though, at this point, Tim, because there's investigations to be done. And it would be irresponsible of us to speculate, but yeah, that's what people are saying.
Now, the fact that the leader of the National Socialist Network, Jacob Hirschent, was found guilty and will spend time in prison, the National Socialist Network, they were out and about again on Saturday afternoon at the New South Wales-Victoria border town of Corowa. So it's in New South Wales on the border. They gathered in front of a war memorial statue holding a banner which said white man fight back. They said they were there because a multinational meat processor, JBS, is importing foreign labor.
How did they go down?
There was a lot of, bewilderment from locals who filmed them. And they would be loving that they got condemnation from the New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, and the local federal member for Farrer, Susan Lay, who said that if we need to pass more laws, because they're moved on by police, they have move-on powers in New South Wales. So she was basically saying, if we can't charge them with an offence, let's see if we can make one up. It doesn't seem all these laws are working. Jacob Hirschent's prepared to go to jail for his beliefs. And it again shows the fact that no matter what your law you pass, there's always activists can always find a loophole around it. Like last week with the Hezbollah supporters just having blank yellow flags.
Yeah, well, like I say, you know, people are going to be free to do certain things, and a lot of us aren't going to like it. But that's just the way it is, as long as it doesn't create any violence or danger to us. But maybe it will. Who knows? Okay, let's move on to this season of summits. I know there's CHOGM coming up, but there are other things going on as well. What's it all about?
Yes, so CHOGM, the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting. So obviously be busy for your Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, as well. So he would have been with Albanese at ASEAN in Laos. And so what's happening this week is King Charles and Queen Camilla are coming to Australia for an official visit, though they're being snubbed by all of the state premiers.
Why?
Because they're Republicans. The Australian Labor Party, its official position is that they support a republic, though they got rid of their assistant minister for the republic, Matt Thistlethwaite, after the defeat of the Voice referendum, which we just had the one-year anniversary of the Aboriginal Voice referendum's defeat. So they know that their chances for a republic referendum are nil. So support for a republic is at record lows, is actually lower now under King Charles's reign. Support for a republic, 33%, no, 45%. And the no vote would obviously increase if there was a referendum. So King Charles has actually become quite popular in the first 2 years of his reign. But obviously Albanese is meeting and greeting him, and then they're going off to CHOGM in Samoa together. But there was also a summit right here in Australia last year, the social media summit held by New South Wales Premier, Labor Premier Chris Minns and South Australian Labor Premier Peter Malinauskas, because it has long been a crusade of theirs and of all political leaders to restrict social media access for teenagers. Most politicians want a limit of of 16, because obviously politicians, they love blaming other things for social ills. And, of course, the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman Grant, spoke. We also had Jonathan Haidt come out as well. So the Communication Minister, Michelle Rowland, she's drafting, because it has to be a federal law, they said that it would apply to the social media companies, that if a teenager made it through under 16, 14, whatever they decide, that the social media companies would be prosecuted, because I certainly think it would be seen as quite authoritarian if parents and teenagers were prosecuted for being on social media or allowing their children to be on social media.
Well, that means that what will be heavily promoted is a digital ID for children. That forces that. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and this is why I've opposed it. And obviously, governments, they love introducing policies that give them greater power and also say to parents, look, we'll do your job for you.
Yep. Well, they'll have kids all signed up with digital IDs for their entire life to come.
And all of us, because you need to make sure that we're over 18 when we're signing up for a various social media site. Yeah. And we also, let's not remember the misdisinformation laws before the federal parliament. We have the hate speech laws that submissions have already closed here in Victoria. We'll see the legislation by the end of this year.
Okay, just conscious of time. Do you want to talk about October 7th remembrance? How was that dealt with in Australia, but more particularly in Victoria, I suppose?
It's still very political at the federal level. So the Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and opposition leader Peter Dutton couldn't agree on a motion remembering the Hamas October 7 attack. Peter Dutton said it should be exclusively about marking the October 7 attack and lives lost. But the Albanese government decided that they would have it mourning all the deaths of innocent civilians in Israel and Gaza, and of course now in Lebanon, call for a ceasefire and a two-state solution. So we also have the Foreign Minister Penny Wong organising taxpayer-funded flights for Australians still in Lebanon. There's 15,000 Australians who are in Lebanon. 2,300 have left on these flights out of the 4,000 who registered for these flights. So they're leaving half empty, and they've been told to get out for over a year now. And to get a free ride out, I mean, Australians were forced during the COVID lockdowns to pay for their flights back to Australia and their hotel quarantine for 14 days. Some in Birmingham, the shadow foreign minister has said they should pay their own way. And the fact that a lot of them have been there for weddings and holidays. And so if you're going over to a country which, I mean, if you're a dual citizen of Australia and Lebanon, you should know how dangerous it can be.
Yeah, I guess. And what expect the taxpayers to cover your extraction should it be needed.
Yes. Yeah. And we had some, of course, Islamists celebrated the October 7 attack when they happened. And one was allowed in, Khalid Bayudin, an associate professor in law from Arizona State University, who said that they celebrated the October 7 attack. We had two students arrested at the University of Western Sydney, charged with assaulting security. They tried to occupy the Chancellor's building, like those students in the US, and unveiled a banner, Haira's building, a reference to the former Hamas chief who was killed in Tehran back in July, which, of course, that is expressing support for a terrorist organization is illegal in Australia. So,
okay, yep. What about the restaurateur in trouble for displaying what?
So it was an Israeli flag with a swastika on it. Yes, this restaurateur. So Victoria and the federal laws have a carve out. You're allowed to display the swastika if you're opposing Nazism. So he would have been in the clear in Victoria, though there is a Victoria Police investigation into a similar sign in Victoria. So you're allowed to display the swastika if you're opposing Nazism. The law in New South Wales is much more strict. So it was held by this restaurateur, Alan Yazbek. And so his restaurant's losing business now, and including one of the cancellations has been Goldman Sachs, and is which of course given their name, of course they're going to cancel a reservation by a restaurateur who's had a sign about Israel like that. And he's also had his venues dropped from the Age and the Sydney Morning Herald's Good Food Guide.
Oh dear.
So now former Labor Senator Fatima Payman last week announced that her new party would be called Australia's Voice. Some people are saying it should be called Afghan's Voice or Allah's Voice. And also last week in Canberra, it wasn't a good week for Albanese because he had to apologise for joking, well, saying that Shadow Treasurer Angus Taylor must have had Tourette's for constantly interrupting, which is an ableist slur, and his deputy Richard Coles has his chief of staff, Joe Towansky, has alleged she was bullied out of her job, and when she complained about the bullying, was told to find another job by him, and did a Parliament House press conference with a lawyer by her side, said that it made her feel suicidal. And of course, back in the Morrison government, Empower Labor was saying it's not a safe workplace for women. And Green Senator for Western Australia, Dorinda Cox, she has been sanctioned by a state party and will be investigated after 15 former staffers complained of bullying. 20 staff have quit since she took office 3 years ago. And it's always the case with these be kind people, those who say they are pro-women, to be the biggest bullies of them all. I remember Prime Minister, Jacinta Ardern, be kind. There was allegations of bullying inside her government, and an MP quit.
Yeah, an Indian MP doctor from Hamilton, he quit. But they're at each other. All of them were at each other to particularly.
And, Dan Andrews was accused of bullying women as well.
All right, well, we're right up against time. Do you just want to quickly give us your impressions? Because I think you were reporting on it, the pro-life march in Melbourne. You mentioned that last time we talked. How did that go?
Yeah, so the March for the Babies, it's held on the anniversary or as close to the anniversary of the passing of the Victorian Abortion Law Reform Act of 2008, which legalised abortion up until birth. It became the model for abortion up to birth legislation in all Australian jurisdictions. It's led by former Liberal MLC, Bernie Finn, who was expelled from the Liberal Parliamentary Party room in 2022 for restating his pro-life beliefs. It's supposed to be a conscience vote, but he was expelled for that. Then Moira Deeming was pre-selected in his place. Then she got expelled. Shows you the state of the Victorian Parliamentary Liberal Party. So there were 3,000 attendees, which was certainly impressive given just how much the pro-life movement has been, well, basically trodden over. There's now the exclusion zones around abortion clinics. And up in the Queensland state election, there is less than 2 weeks to go. Stephen Giggles-Miles is saying that if the LNP win, which they most likely will, they're going to recriminalise abortion because Robbie Katter of the Katter's Australian Party is going to be introducing a bill in the next parliament. The LNP leader, David Crisafulli, said it's not part of our plan. We're ruling it out, even though it's supposed to be a conscience vote. There's a bill before the South Australian Parliament by Liberal MLC Ben Hood to allow for babies who, after 28 weeks in the womb, would be born alive. A lot of this is being spearheaded by one woman activist, Dr. Joanna Howe, who I've mentioned to you previously, legal academic at the University of Adelaide. She spoke at the march. There was only one pro-abortion interruption. Some woman in a wig, she had some balloon under her skirt, which had some blood, supposed to be a fetus, and she was whisked away by the Australian Peacemakers security before she could make much of a scene. They had their pro-choice and proud street party, which was organised by RV Yemeni stalker Christopher Johnson, outside Parliament House, which their efforts just get lamer and lamer each year. Less said about, well, particularly him, the better.
All right. Well, thanks for bringing us right up to date from across the Tasman. Tim, it's always good to hear the news, and there's always something going on.
Well, yes. Like I said,
hopefully the weather will be okay.
Yeah. Well, like I said, summit season. So I think there'll be a lot occurring. We have the ACT state territory election this weekend. That's going to be a Labor Greens victory. That's why all the attention is on the Queensland state election. Also this Saturday, three New South Wales by-elections in Pittwater. The Liberal MP Rory Amon, who resigned because he was charged with rape, and then the in Epping and Hornsby, the retiring Premier Dominic Perrottet and his former deputy Matt Keane, now head of the Climate Council. So it's a super Saturday of New South Wales by-elections and the ACT territory election. And who knows, the federal election could be sooner rather than later. And we've also got local government mail-in votes as well. I finally found out who my candidates are and who I should vote for and who I definitely shouldn't vote for.
Well, good. Good luck with that. And maybe in a week's time, you can give us the results of what happens this coming weekend.
Yeah, it's all coming thick and fast this end of the year.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.